Today we're building a Warp Jungle Hoover Stab, using Groove Pool tricks in Ableton Live 12, and we're treating it like a real mixing element, not just a flashy sound design moment. The whole point here is to create a stab that feels dangerous, rhythmic, and locked into a drum and bass pocket. It should hit hard, leave space for the sub and reese, and sit in the track like it belongs there. If it's too wide, too long, or too bright, it'll fight the snare and blur the drop. So the mission is simple. Make it aggressive, then make it behave. Start with a raw source that already has attitude. You can use Waveeatable, Analog, or Operator and build a short Hoover-style hit from scratch, or you can resample a synth stab into audio first. If you're making it from a synth, think classic Hoover energy, two saw waves slightly detuned, maybe the third octave up layer tucked in quietly, a fast attack, a short decay, and not much sustain. Keep the filter resonant enough to scream a bit, but don't overcook it. We want character, not a polished lead sound. If you're working with audio, trim the clip so the transient starts cleanly. In jungle and dark roller styles, the first tiny slice of the sound matters a lot. That initial impact is what will either lock into the drum pocket or smear across it. Now warp the clip. Turn warp on and experiment with the mode based on the sound you're starting with. Complex Pro is great if the stab is more harmonic and smooth. Beats can work if it has a sharper transient edge, and tones can add a slightly grainy, pitched quality. The advanced move here is not just syncing it to tempo. It's shaping the attitude of the hit. Place your first warp marker right on the transient, then nudge the next marker a tiny bit earlier or later. That changes the sense of push or drag. A stab landing a little ahead of the beat feels urgent and aggressive. A stab slightly behind the beat feels heavier and more rolled. In drum and bass, that tiny timing decision can completely change the vibe. Before you go any further, normalize the clip's feel with clip gain if needed. If one stab hit is way louder than the others, the groove will feel inconsistent, because the louder hit will seem to lean forward more. Even out the raw levels first, then let saturation and automation create the emphasis later. Now open the groove pool. This is where we stop thinking about groove as just swing and start treating it like a mix decision. Load something that fits the language of the drums, like an MPC-style swing or a more broken, human pocket. For this kind of jungle and roller feel, a subtle groove usually works better than a big obvious shuffle. Try something around the mid-50s swing range, then keep the groove amount restrained. Apply the groove to the stab and listen in context with the drums. The key question is not, does it feel cool alone? It's, does it lock with the breakbeat without blurring the front edge? Treat the groove as phase critical. If the stab and the break both have swing, their transient offsets can either glue the drop together or make it soft and foggy. A good workflow is to duplicate the clip and compare two versions. Let one version follow the groove strongly, and let another sit more lightly against the grid. In many cases, the better choice is the one that lands cleanest against the snare and bass, even if it feels slightly less human in isolation. Now let's shape the tone. Put EQ 8 first in the chain. High pass the stab, so it clears the sub lane, usually somewhere around 90 to 150 Hz depending on the source. If there's low mid mud, carve a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's stepping on the snare presence, tame a bit around 2.5 to 5 kHz. The aim is to keep the stab in the midrange zone where DNB tension lives, above the sub, below the airy ride and cymbal zone, and not competing with the crack of the snare. Next, add saturator or roar for density. This isn't just about dirt. It's about helping the stab read on smaller speakers while staying punchy. A few dB of drive can do a lot. If the stab is getting pokey, soft clipping helps keep it controlled. If it still feels too spiky, drum buffs can tame the front edge a little, but keep it subtle. You want pressure, not smashed transients. At this point, think about stereo in layers, not as a single blanket treatment. Duplicate the stab or split it into two layers. The main body layer should stay narrow or monosafe, with a focus on the core mid-range punch. The width layer should be more aggressive with filtering, usually high-passed harder, so it only adds edge, grain, and space above the low mids. On the width layer, try chorus ensemble, a short delay, or a tiny reverb. You can even use auto pan for a little motion if you want the top to feel alive. Just remember, the widened layer should not carry the weight of the sound. If the stereo treatment is carrying too much body, the stab will collapse when you hit mono or when the mix gets dense. This is a great place to use utility. Narrow the width on the lower part of the stereo layer or keep the whole thing more controlled with bass mono style thinking. The kick and sub should own the center. The stab lives around them, not inside them. If you want to stay organized, route both layers to a stab bus that gives you one place to control the combined character, one place to apply glue, and one place to do your final level balancing. Now let's make it evolve. In Dark DNB, a static stab gets old fast. Automate a few meaningful things across 8 or 16 bars. You could slowly open the filter cutoff before a drop. You could push the resonance up on the last stab of a phrase for a screaming lift. You could open the reverb send only on the final hit of a 4-bar cycle. Or you could increase saturation just a little on the answer phrase to make the call and response feel more alive. Use auto filter for filter movement, echo for selective dubby throws, and scent-based reverb for controlled tails. The key is restraint. One or two focused changes per phrase is usually enough. Too many moving parts and the track starts losing its sense of force. Now bring in the drums, sub, and any res or mid bass before making final level decisions. The snare should stay dominant in terms of transient impact. The sub should stay centered and clear. The stab should feel exciting and present, but not so loud that it steals attention from the drum grid. Check mono with utility. This is a non-negotiable step. A good DNB stab should still make sense when the stereo width is reduced. If it falls apart in mono, the stereo treatment is doing too much of the work. That usually means the core body needs to be stronger. Listen for where the stab sits relative to the snare and hats, not just the bass. Overstab can sound totally fine in isolation and still be too bright in a full breakbeat context. The real test is whether it adds energy without creating a permanent haze over the top end. For the rhythm, think in phrases, not individual hits. In Jungle and Rollers, the stab works best when it acts like a repeating rhetorical device. Build a 2-bar identity first, then make small phrase-level changes instead of trying to reinvent every note. Try placing the stab just after a sub note, or on the last 16th before the snare, or as a short answer on the second half of a 2-bar loop. That call and response relationship is what makes the arrangement feel like it's talking to itself. The bass speaks, the stab answers, and the drums keep everything moving. If you want a heavier, darker edge, sidechain the stab very lightly to the kick or snare bus, just enough to keep the transient path clean. Don't overdo it, because too much pumping can push the stab toward EDM territory, and that's not the goal here. You can also add a tiny bit of filtered noise under the attack for extra grit, or use a subtle frequency shift for unstable energy. Just keep those effects controlled. The best dark DNB effects make the stab feel like it's moving through space, not floating in a giant wash. A really strong advanced move is to make a ghosted duplicate of the stab, 1/16th late and much lower in volume. That can create a broken, jungle-like echo feel without cluttering the main hit. Another good trick is to resample the processed stab. Once it feels right, then chop the audio clip and treat it like a percussion element. That gives you more control over micro timing and arrangement. Watch out for a few common mistakes. Don't make the stab too wide too early. Don't leave too much low-mid content in it. Don't overuse groove until it gets sloppy. Don't automate everything at once. And don't let the reverb tail smear into the next drum cycle. If you want a simple practice target, build a 2-bar stab phrase at 174 BPM. Make the Hoover hit, warp it two different ways, apply two groove strengths, split it into body and width layers, EQ the body, so it clears the sub, add mild saturation, throw a tiny delay on the final hit, and then test it against a bass call and response. After that, check mono, balance it against the snare, and resample the whole thing into a new clip. The big idea is this. In drum and bass, the stab is not just a sound. It's a structural tool. It can be a hook, a fill, a transition, or a tension device. When you warp it, groove it, and mix it with discipline, it stops being a random synth hit and starts behaving like a weapon. So keep the sub solid, keep the body controlled, let the width live only where it helps, and use groove like it's part of the mix. That's how you get a Jungle Hoover stab that hits hard, feels alive, and actually works inside a real DNB arrangement.